What's up, y'all? It's your man Ernest, or You Love Ernest, back again with another episode of the Ernest Thoughts Podcast. I am making an effort to get back on track and stay on time, but you know, things happen. If I sound a little raspy, or I believe I sound a little raspy, I mean, you might not be able to tell. I'm coming off of a cold that I'm recovering still of a cold. So it seemed like earlier on when I got the cold, I'm like, dang, I'm going to miss another weekend recording this thing and have to make it up sometime during the day, you know, when I'm too dang busy during a weekday. But the symptoms are, you know, I'm still trying to stay as warm as possible. So that's why I got my coat on. But yeah, you know, if it sounds that way, if it sounds raspy, that is the reason. So this first topic here, I wanted to pretty much, hopefully y'all can, was this, damn, I just noticed the microphone wasn't plugged in all the way, but I'm pretty sure the headphones wasn't plugged in all the way, but I'm sure the microphone on this laptop recorded a bit of that audio. If it didn't, yikes. But anyways, as far as this first topic here, I contemplated talking about it because when I first wanted to talk about it, I had a whole slew of things I wanted to say. And within the things that I wanted to say, this message that you see as far as the title goes, it's still a big part of it, but there was a bunch of things that was relative to this message here. So I'm just going to keep it succinct and about this one just thought that I have. I didn't make this thought up. I feel like I heard a big thud and stuff, but I didn't make this thought up. This is definitely a thought process that many people have had in the past and probably still have about this idea that, you know, there's benefits to struggling. Sorry, see? You know, that's one of the symptoms that I have still is the cough. I'm wearing my mask everywhere. When I go out, I'm wearing my mask. So don't worry. And it wasn't COVID. It was just your common cold. Because unfortunately, we still have wintertime here in New England in April and spring. But anyways, aside from all of that, and wintertime blues getting the best of me, I wanted to talk about, again, this aspect of there is beauty within the struggle. Now, I've talked about this, or at least I think I talked about this in the past, but not to the magnitude to where I am going to address it here. And if I did, then this is clearly a message that God, the universe, spirit wanted me to talk about again, because the thought came up in my mind a couple weeks ago when I was making my notes for this episode here. So, with that being said, I'm going to talk about it again, the beauty within the struggle. Now, there's a story behind it, and the story is relative to me, okay? So, as it goes, the big reason why I wanted to talk about this and how it relates to the story I'm going to tell is, for those who've been subscribed to the podcast for long enough, you know that I used to live in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the weather is generally nice around this time of year. Generally, I'm going to say. Because I was looking at the weather the other day, and I'm like, oh, geez, they're just having the same BS weather that Boston is having, which is, it's unfortunate, to say the least. But I used to live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I did a stint there for, you know, when I say stint, I wasn't locked up. For those who are thinking that, I'm just saying it was not a long time, definitely not as long as I would have hoped that time was, but I was there nonetheless. Unfortunate situations that I detailed on this podcast that I won't detail in this story per se, or at least to the full magnitude, unfortunate situations there ended up me having to go back to Boston, Massachusetts, where I am currently residing at the moment in time, at this moment in time. Okay, so I did that, and I mentioned Ever since then, and it's been a couple years since I've been back in Boston now. It's been maybe 2, if not 3 years since I've been back in Boston. And to me, when you're someone who reflects a lot, when you are overthinker like myself, 2 or 3 years is a long time to reflect on, your past, reflect on decisions that were made, reflect on situations you were in, just reflection in general. And because of that, I found myself when I created this topic, when I noted it down that I wanted to discuss this, I found myself reflecting on how much happier I was in Charlotte, although I was struggling, compared to Boston, where life isn't super easy, but the struggle here, let me just put it that way, isn't as hard as it was in Charlotte. But I was happier here than I am here. And this is just a flat out truth and just me being honest. Now, it has zero to do with the individual that I was dealing with at the time. It has everything to do with what it personally meant to me when I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. It finally meant independence. It finally meant freedom. Freedom, independence, a brand new start. These things that I really like and that I really love. I was surrounded by a bunch of beautiful, and y'all could get mad if you want, but a bunch of beautiful black faces, beautiful black people. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, I hate being in Boston because there's so many white people. I mean, white liberalism is MF-er here, but white liberalism is an MF-er in any liberal state or liberal city. Let me put it that way. Massachusetts is not necessarily a liberal state. We can talk about that in a future episode about the demographics here. It's very interesting, to say the least. But Boston is a very liberal city. And no, the politics here, as far as, because Charlotte was kind of liberal-ish, although it was in a conservative, it's in a conservative state, or at least conservative-leaning state, as in North Carolina. Excuse me. Even when I don't sneeze, I say excuse me when I cough. It's just something I'm trying to get used to. I don't have tea with me. I have water. So don't mind me when you hear pauses and me sipping water. I mean, that's nothing new. I always sip water when I record these and when I don't record these, because water is good. You should always drink water. All right. This is not sponsored by water, but water gets a free shout out on this podcast any day. Anyways, unless a water company wants to throw some ads on here, then I'd shout y'all out. And next time I listen to back to this podcast, if I hear, ad for or then I'll shout you out for sponsoring this podcast. But in all seriousness, I got to reflecting, and as I was stating before, there were just moments to where I was like, yeah, life is somewhat easier when it comes to having certain things in place here. Whereas with Charlotte, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of things, excuse me, a lot of things were unpredictable. Granted, because of the situation that I was in, that I found myself in, I say find myself in. I was in it, you know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's find yourself in or that you put yourself in, the situation I was in, there was a lot of things that was unpredictable. And I'm the type of individual that is, I like to know what I'm getting into. I like to have a set schedule of things. There's a reason why I like to record these every Sunday. I could record these earlier, but it is just something about Sunday afternoons when I record these episodes that puts me in that mindset of productivity at least for these, and just other things, other creative work that I do as well. But just even things outside of the podcast, I wouldn't say I'm very rigid, because I've gotten a lot better, and I'm used to be really rigid, but I've gotten a lot better at just letting things go, in a sense of not trying to control everything. And that was my big thing, one of my biggest issues when I was in Charlotte, was I had zero faith in my ability to be able to not just let go, but to even control things as well. And then I came back here as a safe haven. But when I think about it, it's like, number one, mentally, I'm not, and when I say mentally, I'm not safe, I'm saying that I'm not happy. I'm not in any type of physical danger here or this, that, and there. Trust me. Excuse my language, but none of these niggas gonna fuck with me like that. That's all I'm gonna say. But yeah, so, and if they tried, yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that. But anyways, there is beauty within the struggle. I know I'm going all over the place, and I'm gonna try to keep this short because I'm gonna try to keep these episodes less than 2 hours long. Thanks for people who did listen to those long episodes. If you like it, then I'll try to keep. I don't try to have a timeline or a specific time. And oh snap, my nose is getting runny. Good thing I have this cloth here, right? Y'all getting real deal me, man. I'm sorry. This is the cloth I was just using to clean this screen for this laptop. Sorry for the video watches, but hey. You came here for realness, right? And I am not having a drippy nose on camera. That's just what it is. I'm gonna wash this cloth anyways, as I do all my cloths, because a lot of you, let me not, a lot of y'all don't wash y'all ish. Nasty. Salmonella and having ass needles. Anyways, I'm sorry. You know I gotta joke around and stuff. It's not the cough medicine because I got the non-drowsy kind, so I'm not high on that stuff. But I did take some earlier. To be honest with you, Mr. Full Transparency here. And I just wanted to say in this quick message, or at least try to make it as quick as possible, there is happiness within the struggle. I understand. And it wasn't this situation that made me like, oh, I understand the Republicans when they telling us to struggle. Now, there's a level of struggle that nobody should have to go through. There's a level of struggle that isn't fun. There's a level of struggle that isn't. You know, that it's hard to be the silver lining type. I understand that fully, you know? But situations like that, when I was in Charlotte, I think back at the situation. Yeah, I ended up, before coming back here, I was homeless for a month. Homeless as in just living in a hotel for a month. But I had a job, I had money. Granted, most of it was going to paying my rent at the hotel, which was, I believe, almost $400 a week. It was like $375 a week. But I could have saved the rest. And I know I was making excuses for myself. I need food. I need food. I look back at some of the decisions and I'm like, bro, you fast like every single day. Like, you could have fasted. You know, you could have gotten some cheap bites. And I did get cheap bites, but, you know, you could have. You didn't necessarily need all of that. I was just binge eating like a mug because I was stressed out in that situation. And unfortunately, that was something that I did when I was in stressful situations. I was just binge eating like a mug, right? But there are things that I could have done, you know, that would have gotten me out of that rut, even if it meant staying in that hotel for another month. The thing is, again, I look back and I was free. Free in the sense that I was out of a toxic relationship and away from someone that I did not feel safe, not just physically, but emotionally with. I was away from that situation. I was free in the sense that I wasn't around bullshit family members. That ain't shit. All right. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I was away from just bad vibes. Granted, there was a situation there to where this was a bad vibe situation as to someone who was once a friend was calling about some. I detailed this on the podcast, but they was calling to complain about their issues, and here I am in a hotel room crying because I'm homeless and it's cold as hell. And they want to talk about, they want to complain and cry about the abortion they got 2 years ago. Meanwhile, they tell me to get over my situation when I'm like, hey, right now I just can't be that person you go to cry about the abortion that you had. Or the miscarriage, my bad. It wasn't an abortion. It was a miscarriage. If I seem really insensitive, as I stated before, for those who know about that situation, you know this, but for those who don't know about the situation, I'll detail it here. Old friend of mine, suffered a miscarriage. It's been more than 2 years now, but 2 years from that time I was in Charlotte and homeless, right? 2 years prior to that moment, it was coming up on the anniversary of her miscarriage. And that's just like with any mother, I believe, or any woman, that might be in a very emotional time, you know? So I don't want to seem insensitive. I didn't want to seem insensitive then, and I don't want to seem insensitive now. But you don't tell someone who is homeless in a hotel that they need to not think about it and just get over it, when these four walls is a constant reminder of the state that I am, literally the physical state that I am. I can't just not think about it. For me to not think about it meant that I would have to close my eyes the entire time, the entire month I was in this hotel, and only open them when I was to leave the hotel to go to work, because that's what I was doing. Going to work, going back to this hotel, going to work, going back to this hotel. And then there was a laundromat that was down, and it was a walkways. It wasn't like it was just, this was at least, a mile walk. But that's had how I had to do. I had to carry these heavy laundry bags full of dirty clothes, go to that laundromat. That was the only other location outside of work that I went to this hotel. And then, of course, the Dollar General that was across the street. There was a McDonald's literally next to the hotel, but I didn't go to there. So that's that. But the Dollar General is where I did my shopping, my grocery shopping there. Anyways, I was there. I get a call from this old supposed friend. She knew about the state that I was in, and I told her, "Hey, listen, blank. I know you're real depressed about this right now, but I'm going through something right now as well. And I would really appreciate it if you were to just call someone else with this, or, be understanding of the position I'm in, because at least you have a home. You're at home with your family. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't have the baby that you always wanted, but you still have the love and support of your family. They not some raggedy Ann bitches. They not some sneaky conniving MFers, at least to my knowledge. They seem cool to me. But her response was, just don't think about it. So then I said the same thing to her. Now, granted, it was a bad mess up. It was kind of messed up to say to somebody. But it's also messed up to say to somebody who's homeless, don't think about being homeless, as if that is a, wow, my issue here isn't that I'm cold in this hotel room and there's no hot water and there's the only a microwave, so I'm eating crappy microwavable food that is cancerous. My problem is I'm thinking about being homeless. So if that was the case, then her problem was thinking about the miscarriage. So I told her straight up, I gave her the same advice she gave me. Just don't think about it. Clearly, it didn't sit well with her, but it didn't sit well with me what she said. And granted, and remember, she said it first. Now, that was me being petty. That's not my proudest moment. Because of that moment, we are no longer cool. But I can still sit in that moment and say I was not wrong in a sense that she expected me, just like everybody else in my life, expect me to put my feelings aside for their problems. And, this is going into a different field. I said I was going to end this. I'm going to end this soon. I promise you. This is just coming to mind. But there are moments where I allow that to be the case. So I can't get too upset at her or just anybody else, family or not, for thinking my whole entire existence. Well, I can get upset with them for it, but I didn't make it easier for myself. I didn't make it easier for myself by allowing that to happen for however long it was. Now, I knew this girl for, she actually lived in North Carolina as well. But prior to her, she didn't live in Charlotte, but prior to me even moving to North Carolina, her, myself, and her brother, we were all just cordial. We were all just friends. And then they were both excited when I announced, hey, I'm moving to Charlotte. We got some other mutual friends as well. That was, the case. Her brother no longer wants to F with me, and that's cool. I mean, you got to side with your sister. So I understand that fully. If you're like, nah, I don't want to talk to him, he made my sister cry. I understand that, but your sister was in the wrong too. You just don't say that to anybody. You just don't expect anybody to leave their feelings aside because you are having a moment as well. And like I said, before I even said that comment of just don't think about it, I was suggesting that she go talk to other people about it. But she let me know that she she let me know that she didn't want to talk to anybody else about it because she didn't really necessarily trust anybody with it. And I'm like, you don't trust your family with it? You don't trust, like, literally, you talk about how close you and your mom are. And they are. I've seen their relationship dynamic. That is a relationship dynamic. Had me and my mom were that close, I would tell her these things, you know? At least if that's how I would say it, because if I had a close relationship with my mom like that, I would feel comfortable with saying, hey, mom, this thing that happened 2 years ago is still getting to me, and it's coming up on the anniversary of that date. I want to talk to you about it. Simple as that. So she had people, and that was my thing, is you have people. I don't have anybody. You and a couple of other people that I know, that we know as mutuals or, you know, they're related to you, are the only people that I know in this state. And your advice was to not think about it. So it's like, all right, that's how it is. Just hit you with the same thing. But I say all that just, and I said I was going to detail the full story, but you know, it just happened. I say all that just to say it was a lot of struggling that went on. I know I ain't the only individual who struggles, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm insensitive to anybody else's struggle or just insensitive to struggling in general. As I stated, there are a bunch of struggles that are just not fun. There are a bunch of struggles, and I think I said this like a few months ago. This is just coming to mind where I mentioned how there are just certain things that no human being should have to. There are certain lessons we can learn. I remember this for well, not verbatim, but I do remember saying this. There are certain lessons that human beings can learn without having to learn the hard way. And the lesson that I learned out in Charlotte, you know, and being back here is definitely a lesson or lessons. That I could have easily learned without going the hard route. But when I think back at the time I was struggling, I still think back at moments where I was happy. And I just want to say to anybody out there that if you are in a situation, let me take a sip of water because I feel a cough coming. If you are in a situation where you are struggling, first of all, before you do anything, I want you to take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath. Now that you've taken your deep breath, I want you to think about what's going right in your situation. This is not me saying don't think about it. This is me saying, hear me out. What is going right? Do you have a job? Are you able to make ends meet? Do you have food? Are you able to get food? Is the water at least hot? You know? Do you have more than a microwave to make your meals? I'm not saying, oh, you had it better than me, so be happy. No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying the way to get out of this rut is to think about, because I'm going to tell you to think about what's not going right. Think about what is going right. And I want you to keep doing those things. Because those things didn't just fall on your lap. Those things came about because you were doing right to achieve those things. So I want you to give yourself a pat on the back. A hug if you even need to. I'll give you a virtual hug if that's going to help out. I'm not trying to be sarcastic or funny, but I want you to think about the good that you're doing right now. The good that you have is because of your doing. You know, the blessings of God and all that, of course, we can never count that out. But faith without works is hope. And you put in the work. So you got that. You got what you got because you have faith in yourself. And you put in that work to achieve the good that's happening within your life. So you deserve to applaud yourself for that. You deserve to pat yourself on the back for that. But I don't want you to not think about the bad. Think about what isn't working out. And don't woe is me it. Think about what isn't working out. Because by doing that, you understand that you deserve more. That you want more. You desire more. And by desiring more, you are able to now, before you get into planning, take another deep breath. All right? After you do that, think about what are things you can do, whether you're doing that now or you can do it. You can do it in some time. Think about what can I do in order for me to achieve things that I want to achieve. Me personally, I'm big on my independence, freedom, and getting away from toxic environments. I went from one toxic environment to another one. And although the toxicity levels are far different than one another, I still don't feel like this environment is one that is conducive to my well-being. So one of the things that I want to work on is, excuse my French, getting the fuck out of here. Yep. So I'm going to continue doing the work that I do, but there is definitely more that I can do to make sure that I'm out of this toxic environment. So don't be surprised within the next month or so or some time now, you're like, wow, he's recording in a new place, in a new place, and, you know, I am in a new place, but not a new place in this place. Like, I'm not recording in a living room now of this place. No, I'm recording in the living room or wherever I decide to record these episodes in my new place, away from these. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I might end up having roommates that are just as toxified or just annoying. This is going to be... I'm not a people person, all right? As I wipe my nose again, all right? I clearly don't give a damn about wiping my nose on camera, all right? I'm using a cloth, by the way, for those who are the audio listeners, but I could be rooming with some assholes. I could be rooming with some straight weirdos, all right? The point is to always level up, to never go back to what was something that because it seemed safe, or to go back to a place to where I'm trying, the devil is on one of my shoulders, right? Whichever shoulder the devil stands on is telling you to go back because, oh, it can't be that bad. Now, there were people who advised me to go back to Boston, and they had good intentions. I won't say they're the devil. I wouldn't say the people were telling me to go back to Boston. They had good intentions. They were like, listen, go back. They even said it. They said, go back, but don't stay. Go back, build yourself up, get the hell out. So I can't say they had bad intentions at all. Because what they were telling me is literally what the plan was. Go back, build myself up, get out. Now, when I say get out, I'm still probably going to be in Massachusetts, unfortunately, but get out as in get out of this place where I'm in right now. But I'm not ruling out moving back out of Massachusetts. I mean, the weather here is terrible. The politics here is terrible. I can go on and on and on about what I don't like about Boston or just Massachusetts. We have the worst drivers ever. Ever. I don't care. You say your state is worse. No, you're not worse than Massachusetts. You're not worse than Boston. Stop it. I'm pretty sure it's bad. I'm not saying it's not bad where you're at, but it's definitely not bad I've had New Yorkers say, "Hey, listen, I thought it was bad in New York till I came here." So that's how you know. And New Yorkers are some of the worst people in the country. I ain't apologizing for that. Anyways, it's been far too long. Listen, there is beauty within the struggle. You know, you just have to look at, what you're going through, and understand that there is a way out, and you are going to be happy when you tough it out. You know, you are going to be happy when you tough it out, because like I said, I was happier in Charlotte because there was moments where I did tough it out. I was like, wow, I'm doing a damn thing. I can do it. I relapsed, and that's how I ended up here. Relapsed in the sense that I fell back into my insecure, faithless ways. But when you fall down, you always get back up. And that's the journey I'm on right now. So I'm going to hit you with a commercial break, and then we'll get into the next topic. Stay tuned. So, this next topic here is going to be like somewhat of a rundown on three different celebrities. Right now, I'm going to talk about Jenny from the Block, J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, for those who don't know. I'm going to talk about Megan Good and her relationship with Jonathan Majors and our old friend Kanye West. So, before I get into any of that, I just want to say I love the fall of celebrity. I love the fall of Hollywood. I love the fall of celebrity worship culture, all of that. Now, people are going to say, well, you want to work within the industry. Aren't you a writer? If they fall, you have no work. That is not true. There are plenty of actors who aren't scummy MFers who I can clearly work with. You know, my dream is to do what I want to do for a living as far as a creative writer, publishing books and screenplays. I don't need the glitz and glam of Hollywood to achieve that. It would help because a lot of money comes with that. But if I am able to pay bills with that, heck, if I'm able to buy a home with that and just worry about a phone bill, worry about paying off student loan debt, ooh, baby, that's success to me. That's success. So that's number one. All right. And just because you might have dreams or aspirations of going to Hollywood, I got to clean these glasses, but we're going to let them dust up. That's just something I got to do when I go on my next commercial break. But anyways, just because you might have aspirations to work within an industry does not mean you have to stay silent and complicit about the craziness that's going on. Now, Jenny from the Block, right? Let's get it started. Jennifer Lopez, over the years, and this has been over the decades. I mean, if you know, you know. If you are a millennial like myself, you know that Jennifer Lopez has always painted herself as this, the girl next door, the hood chick, the classic Bronx Puerto Rican girl, who, got it from the mud, and I was from the streets too. She paints herself out to be that way. I saw a TikTok, and I wish I shared, at least saved this TikTok so I can see, so I could give the individual a shout out. But apparently, this individual went to school with Jennifer Lopez, and she said over the years, she's just been silent, or at least not super, not silent, but not on social media, on a platform like TikTok. She hasn't, she's been detailing this, the truth about Miss Jenny from the Block, but she hasn't been, going around making a tour of. Jennifer Lopez is a phony. She's a big fat phony with a flat ass. She hasn't been doing that, And by the way, Jennifer Lopez's butt was never that big to me. Y'all gonna hate, whatever. I got a brother who loves Latinas, and I like Latinas too. Don't get me wrong, but he had a big ass crush on Jennifer Lopez, and he will always talk about how big her butt was. I don't care how much I love Latinas. I'm not gonna lie when I say one has a butt and they don't, you know? It's just that simple. You know, Jennifer Lopez's butt was never all that. Damn sure ain't all that now. All that white man she been messing with. Anyways, I'll take a sip after that. Like I said, it ain't the cough syrup, baby. I get the non-drowsy kind of the stuff that doesn't make you loopy. Alright? But if it's something in there that's making me like this, then ooh wah. Anyways, I don't know why I said that. I haven't said that in a while, so I just wanted to say it again. Ooh wah. Anyways, Jenny from the block. Let's talk about it. Jennifer Lopez, she tries to make herself super relatable, and her way of doing it is still touting that, hey, I grew up in the Bronx. I grew up, you know, I'm just like you. We know the rumors about you being a straight-up asshole and a diva. Even if it was true, if they are true, your claims of being just this I'm real chick, it doesn't make you make it right the way that you are rumored to have been treating people. South Park made an entire parody about you simply because of that, and you took offense to it. Now, granted, anybody who gets a parody on South Park should be offended, but sometimes you're offended because it's true. I'm not saying the South Park folks had where, you know, their episode was facts, but you know, it's that saying where there's smoke, there's fire, and there was definitely some Latin fire with Jennifer Lopez. Now, this whole Jenny from the Block thing, girl, if you grew up in a safe Catholic neighborhood, you went to a Catholic school, or you didn't grow up necessarily in the Bronx, but the suburbs of the Bronx, right next to the Bronx, just be that. Because the crazy thing about Jennifer Lopez is, one, her daughter is more talented than her. That's number one. That's what I was saying. I just had to throw that out there, man. But that was disrespectful. It was true. But no, I didn't. That came to mind, and what the crazy thing about Jennifer Lopez is, what I really meant to say was, nobody, absolutely nobody, I swear to goodness, nobody was trying to check J-Lo's hood card. J-Lo came out years ago, for those who are now old enough to know. She came out years ago, put a thumbs up like Zoom and Apple is telling you. She came out years ago and was like, hey, y'all, I'm from the hood. I'm from the Bronx. You know, my hair used to look this messy because I am, you know, a Latina from the Bronx, and we used to have our hair real nappy. Nobody came for J-Lo's hood card. Niggas idolized her because she was a Latina with a fat ass, right? She came up on a Living Single, not Living Single, in Living Color, alright? Sorry about that. These are two great shows. But she came up, you know, being a background dancer and all that other good stuff. So she came up surrounded by, you know, black and hip-hop culture and all of that. As far as getting her start within the industry. But as far as her actually growing up, she may have had a listening ear. But a lot of people have came out and said, nah, I know Jennifer. That's not how she came out. And you make that yourself a target of that when you start coming out and I'm from the hood. Nobody was calling out your hood card at all. Nobody. You was all up under Diddy. And for those who are wondering if I'm going to talk about Diddy, heck yeah. Just next week. Not this week, but just next week. So don't worry about it. But yeah, Diddy, pause. I'm getting that ass. Pause. Anyways, you know, no diddler. But Jennifer Lopez, I'm just going to say, all the smoke you're getting for being a poser. Nobody called your hood card out ever. But now that you're claiming you're this Bronx chick and your hair used to look a certain way, and now because you're of the industry, you had to whitewash yourself. Stop it. You do a lot. You do the same thing a lot of the Latin community does. You use the inner city or just the inner city aspects, whether you was in the inner city or you have family there, or you're just living an inner city stereotype because you know there's a bunch of people within your community who do actually live the Bronx life or the inner city life. You use that stereotype to garner some type of support from Black folks and also inner city folks who can't see through the facade. And then once you get to Hollywood, you wipe yourself out and you lose your ass. The ass you never really had in the first place. Anyways, we done talking about Jenny from the Block. Megan Good. Megan Good is an interesting character. I think I said this a couple weeks ago when I talked about the Jonathan Majors situation that he landed himself in. And, you know, just the Megan Good support. I don't think I've ever shared my thoughts on the support aspect. And these are just my thoughts. These are just opinions. These are not rooted in facts at all. I don't know if Jennifer Lopez really grew up with messy hair or she's a poser. But I do know she was the only individual who brought up her hood card. Nobody brought that up. So you can't bring up your hood card. And then when someone says, hey, this is a fake card. And she's typically silent. I've never seen her respond to any of these claims that she's fake. And I guess she just figured, all I gotta respond with is I'm Real, the song I made with Ja Rule. I know. But anyways, back to Megan Good. Now, Megan Good is another one. Megan Good's always had ass. Well, I won't say always. But she got ass now. Alright? We're talking about another one with some natural ass. Alright? So, we're not talking about her ass right now, although it's scrumptious. I'm just saying, I'm sorry. But we're talking about her relationship with Jonathan Majors right now. If it happens, give me my credit. If it never happens, like I said, I'm just stating my opinion. I think one of these days she is going to flip on Jonathan Majors. Jonathan Majors is not coming back from this. Not just because of what he's accused of, but when Megan Good sees that it's advantageous, if that's the word, to jump off the Majors boat, ooh, baby, she gonna flip on that man. Now, when she comes out, if or when she comes out and says, yeah, Jonathan Majors really is a crazy guy, she might be telling the truth, or she might not be. We let the courts decide that, I guess. But I don't feel like she is going to be this loyal Coretta that Jonathan Majors wanted a white woman to be. You know, and he's still doubling down. Megan Good is my Coretta's fan. I'm going to leave that alone. Leave that alone. And we're going to talk about the last person, Kanye West. Kanye West, his new wife is his slave. Is her name like Bianca Sincere or Sensari? Or I don't know. I think it's Bianca something. But his new wife is his slave. Now, I know a lot of niggas is silent about it because it's like, oh, he's got this thick, even though her body's fake. She's another one with a fat ass, but it's fake. So I'd rather have a real flat ass. I'd rather have a J-Lo butt than a Bianca West butt, because at least J-Lo's butt, as flat as it is now and it was in the past, it's real. It's the realest thing about her. Let me leave that girl alone. But, you know, we're not here to talk about the booties of these women, but I always got to start off with some, not always, but I just chose to go that route today. Talk about the booties. But Kanye, if you see the stuff, the weird stuff he has this woman doing, it is straight up, I have the power. First of all, he divorces Kim, and maybe about a year, a couple months later, he marries this duck face, weird face looking woman. That's right, we bring that back. You know, shout out to Cat Williams. But he marries this one. First of all, she looked, first of all, before the first of all that I said, but first of all, after the first of all, so makes it second of all, she looked way better before Kanye made her face weird. You know? I'm dead serious. Like, look at pictures of Bianca before she was a West, and she wasn't a bad looking woman at all. Until Kanye was like, get those fake lips, get that fake butt, get your face re-sculpted, all of that, and now she got this weird face. And it's a shame, because first of all, I got tissue now to wipe my nose, so there's that. That's not a shame, but it's a shame, because I feel like there's a couple reasons why people are staying silent about it. Number one, you got this jeez, you got the folks who are like, Kanye got him a white slave. Oh yeah, that's our man, right? Then you got the folks who, these headlines are coming up because they want to paint Kanye out to be crazy, which he's not right in the head. I mean, we've already detailed this enough on this podcast. I mean, over enough, numerous times where I've stated the same things about Kanye and my thoughts. I can tell you right now, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed at all. The only thing that changed is his wife. The only thing that changed is he couldn't enslave Kim Kardashian. But he can enslave this girl who was once pretty before her face got weird. And he can do, make her dress a certain way, do whatever he wants her to do. And she can lie and be like, it's all me, or, you know, I'm just doing this for my man. She can be all of that because, much like a lot of these other women, they're willing to put up with BS just to live the lifestyle. So although he's got himself a slave, this is one who is a willing slave to put herself through the BS that she put herself through, to give herself the weirdest duck lips of all time, the weirdest face of all time. When she was a pretty girl before, he ducked her up. You see what I did there? Anyways, that's going to be the end of this episode. That is going to be the end of this episode. I mean, people are going to be like, you could talk about Diddy now to make the episode longer. What am I going to talk about next week? What am I going to talk about next week, Shane? Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. That was work outside of this work and stuff, you know. But anyways, like I said, I'll talk about Diddy next week. And I also figured, first of all, I don't want to be coughing up all in y'all ears. That's number one. So the sooner I can not talk for the rest of this day and actually pause, work on my throat, you know. That would have been crazy if I would have introduced, like, I'm gonna work on my throat and then started talking about the diddler. Hell nah. But yeah, I'm gonna talk about Diddy next week, and that might be the only topic there. But I figured, since I gave y'all long episodes last week, and I think the week before that, y'all can do with a short one, especially those who've been supporting and all that other stuff. So thanks for listening. For those who did listen, just understand that what I said in this topic, or just in general, is just my opinions. They are not facts. Well, some things are facts, like weird faces being changed, but and booties being real and not real and flat and not fat. But outside of the bootyage, everything I said was just an opinion. You know, even in the first topic, it was more so personal than it was opinion, but nonetheless, take everything with a grain of salt, and be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself out there. Anybody to tell you that it's selfish to be kind to yourself, give them one of these. All right, and that for the audio listeners, give them a middle finger. All right. Anyways, stay black if you are black. Stay beautiful. Black Lives Matter. LGBTQIA plus lives matter. Unless you're doing that dirty ditty stuff, then get up out of here, no matter your sexuality. Black women matter. Black men matter. Black children matter. Also, happy Autism Awareness Month. Autism awareness is definitely an important... It's an important, you know, movement or just spreading the awareness of autism, ASD, autism spectrum disorder, is important of mine. I do work within that field, so therefore, I just felt the need to state that. Work outside of this podcast, of course. So, yeah, just wanted to state that, and yeah, if I might announce some things related to the work that I have outside of this podcast regarding to the work that I do, the community work that I do with people with ASD. So, just give y'all a heads up. Thanks for listening. Subscribe wherever you're going to subscribe. Hit the links in the description box below. And until next time, until next episode, you hear from me when you hear from me. I'm going to sneeze now, so I'm going to end it. Good night.